Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust that it'll be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
Six o'clock. Okay. So why does Richard look like he's about to do a funeral? Let's figure that one out. Today on the Jewish calendar is Adar 13, the last month of the Jewish calendar, the 13th day. It started last night at sundown. It ends tonight at sundown. And the Jews today celebrate what they call Purim. The word Purim basically is lot. Random. It was just a date that was randomly selected for the extermination of the Jews. The story is found in the book of Esther. Now, maybe it's been a while since you've read the book of Esther, but one of the most unique things about the book of Esther is that God's name is never mentioned. God, they never talk about God. They never refer to God. But the thing about the book of Esther is that God's hand and God's impact into the lives of his people is seen probably more clearly in the book of Esther than almost any book in Scripture. And what I want to do is tell you the story of Esther through the eyes of one of the people who is part of the story, but he never knew that it was God's hand that was in charge. My name is Harbona. My job? Well, in Britain, they would call me a personal valet. In the United States, I would be called a male private secretary. In my country of Persia, I am Harbona, chamberlain to King Xerxes, king of Persia. Now, when I got the job, I'll have to admit, I was a little nervous because, you see, Xerxes, well, to say that he was a bit unstable or irrational, that might have been an understatement. You see, you never knew about Xerxes. I mean, one day you guys would be the best of friends and the next day, off with your head. I mean, we had this official named Pythias. And Pythias heard about a military campaign that Xerxes wanted to do. And he offered $4 million of his own personal funds to finance the military campaign. Xerxes was so moved by this man's generosity, he said, keep your money. He gave him a higher title and even gave him a gift. But then a little bit later, when Xerxes found out that Pythias was kind of hoping that his oldest son would be exempt from the military campaign, Xerxes had the boy cut in half. He put one half of him over there, one half of him over there, and he marched the entire Persian army between the two halves. Like I said, you never know about Xerxes. I mean, one time, we lost 300 ships in a storm out in the Gulf. And Xerxes was so enraged, he made us all march down to the sea. He took a strap and 300 times, one for each ship, 300 times he beat the sea. I just stood there. A lot of good this is doing, you know? But that's Xerxes. But you see, I figured if I was going to have this position and work with him so closely, I needed to learn to go with the flow and just make Xerxes happy, no matter what happened. Now, what I want to do is I want to tell you about just some amazing coincidences that have happened in our country lately. Oh, it all began back several years ago. It was right after the Bay of Salamis fiasco. Xerxes was making a play to take over Greece. He wanted to expand our empire. We lost our entire navy in that battle. And Xerxes himself had to sneak back to Persia in a fishing boat. He He got back to the palace, and I mean, it was heavy. I mean, he was depressed. He was in despair. And I can just tell you, there wasn't much making Xerxes happy. And then it happened. Oh, that's when he started to think about Vashti. Poor Vashti. Now, I'll admit, he did Vashti wrong. And I think he knows that, but he'd never admit it. You see, Vashti was our first queen. And one day in a cabinet meeting, Xerxes started bragging about how he had the best-looking wife in the entire country. I mean, the guy backed himself into it like men tend to do. And one of the men said, "Oh, really? She's that good-looking? Let's have a look at her." So Xerxes sent word that Vashti was to come and display her beauty before his administration. Well, like any woman of integrity, she told him to drop dead. Well, there was Xerxes. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm thinking, even I know you don't do that. Xerxes, what was he going to do? Do I force Vashti to come in? Well, she's saying no. Or do I demonstrate to my administration that my wife doesn't obey me either? What does he do? He banishes her. And now, after the Bay of fiasco out at the sea, he is thinking about Vashti, and he's depressed and gloomy and in despair. And oh, I thought, we have got to do something about Xerxes. And then it hit me. You know what the guy needed? Women. Lots of them. He needed good-looking women around the palace. And so I proposed it to him one day. Xerxes, what do you think if we were to gather beautiful young virgins from all over the Persian Empire and have them come and just stay here in the palace with us? Who knows? Perhaps you might find another queen. Xerxes went for the idea. I mean, in no time at all, we had some of the best looking women here at the palace. And it was just wonderful. And Xerxes, the old guy, had a spring in his step. And he was just looking at all of them. And pretty soon, he started spending time with one in particular. And let me tell you, she was a good looking woman. And he started spending all kinds of time with her. And he started ignoring the rest. We got ourselves a new queen. This woman's name was Esther. And well, my humble opinion, I think he picked the best one. So nice, so gentle. And best of all, Xerxes was back to his old self, and my job was great. The only thing about Esther is she had this dark complexion. She didn't really look Persian, but, you know, they made a nice couple, and, well, Xerxes was happy. Well, everything went fine for about 5 years. And then one day, Xerxes was holding court. I was in my post. And in comes Haman. You know, by the way, when I tell this story, and there's a whole bunch of little Jewish kids in the audience, they all go, shh, they don't like this Haman at all. You don't have to do that, though. In marches Haman. And, well, Haman was now, he was number two in our administration. He had risen up rapidly throughout the State Department, and I just didn't like him. I didn't trust him. I knew that he always had an angle, and anything he was proposing was for Haman's benefit and Haman's benefit alone. Well, here was Haman. And Xerxes said, "What can I do for you today, Haman?" And Haman had this little speech all prepared. "Xerxes, there is a group of people in your kingdom, and it is not to your advantage to continue to tolerate them. For you see, Xerxes, they have their own particular laws that they adhere to, and they ignore our Persian ones. continuing to tolerate them is to your disadvantage. And I believe, Xerxes, that we should have them eliminated. And Xerxes, I believe in this cause so much, I am willing to fund the entire operation. Well, I couldn't believe it. I was standing there. And what does Xerxes say? Sounds like a plan. Let's make it happen. Haman, write it up and I'll sign that decree. And Haman, I'm sure this is a legitimate use of government funds. Keep your money for yourself. He never asked who it was, why. He never asked anything about their particular laws. I mean, that didn't surprise me about Xerxes, but I'll tell you what did surprise me. Haman. Like I said, Haman never looked out for anyone. Why was he going to use his own money to eliminate people? I had to get to the bottom of this. I used to be friends with the guy that tutors Haman's kids. And so, later that day, I connected with him, and I found out what was up. Do you know what the deal was? Haman wanted to eliminate an entire group of people because he was irritated with one person in that group. See, here's the problem. In Persia, we have what we call a citizens' council. And that citizens' council is comprised of members of each ethnic and cultural group. And they gather together to make minor decisions, things that, you know, were not important enough to bother Xerxes with. And as number two in the kingdom, it was Haman's job to pop in on them every once in a while to see how things were going and just to make sure they stayed in line. Well, when Haman got the job, Haman required everyone to stand up and give him a low bow. And so when Haman would walk in the room, the entire citizens' council would stand to their feet and they would bow low before Haman. All of them except for one, Mr. Jewish representative. He just sat there, respectful, but sat there. And over a period of time, the only thing that Haman could see when he walked in that room was Mr. Jewish representative just sitting there. Okay for you, Mr. Jewish representative, I'll get you and I'll get your people. And that was it. He wanted to eliminate all of the Jews because he had a problem with that guy. You know, a couple days later, I saw the decree. I mean, it was brutal. On Adar 13, that's February 24th to you guys. On Adar 13, all Jews, young and old, women and children, are to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. And then you can confiscate their property. I thought to myself, boy, that'll do it. Destroy, kill, and annihilate it. And then you can have their property. Those poor Jews. They only had a few months to live. You know, I thought about saying something to Xerxes, but, I mean, it had already been signed, and this thing we picked up from the Medes, I mean, you don't change laws, so how do you get out of this one? And besides, you know, that went against my personal policy. I was the one that went with the flow. Well, several days later, I was working the upstairs of the palace, and I walked past an open window, and I heard this hollering going on out in the courtyard. And I looked out there and there was this guy. And I mean, he was disheveled looking, bad clothes. His hair was a mess. He had ash on his face. He was throwing dust up in the air. And worst of all, he was just screaming, trying to get people's attention. I thought to myself, we have got to take care of this. Xerxes is not interested in any protesters these days. So I headed over for the stairs. And just as I got to the stairs, I saw Hatish coming. And he had a stack of clothes. And I said, Hatish, what's up? And he goes, oh, there's some bum down there in the courtyard. And Esther wants me to take him these clean clothes. Oh, you're going to take care of it? Yeah, I'll take care of it. I thought, that Esther, she is all heart. I mean, how many queens would care about some bum out in the courtyard? A few minutes later, I see Hatish coming back up the stairs. He still had the clothes.
Not his style?
No, he refused them. He told me to take them back to Esther. Do you know who that guy is? No, I've never seen him before. He's the Jewish representative.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That guy does have something to holler about.
Yeah, he gave me this piece of paper and he said he wanted me to take it and give it to Esther and she was to go show it to the king. Let me see that.
Oh, yeah, this is that decree. Look right here. Destroy, kill, and annihilate. Why would he want Esther to see it, though? I don't know, but Esther's waiting for me, so I better get back up and show it to her.
Later that night, I was down in the palace mess, and I saw Hatish, and he looked like he was sitting on a powder keg. Hatish, what's up? Harbona, you are not going to believe this.
Ah, come on, try me.
Esther's a Jew.
Get out of here.
No, really, she is a Jew. I thought, you know, I never thought she looked Persian. She had me go back down and talk to him and tell him that this was not a good time for her to go and talk to Xerxes. Do you know they haven't been together for 30 days?
Yeah, tell me about it. He's been in one of those moods. Wow.
I went down there and I told him that. He sent me back up to Esther and said, Esther, do you think that just because you are queen, you will be exempted from this decree? Maybe, Mordecai said. Maybe you have been made queen for such a time as this. Wow. Well, Hatish, what's she going to do? She's going to go talk to the king. Really? When? A few days. She wanted Mordecai to gather all the Jews, and they were to pray. And then she was going to go talk to Xerxes.
Wow.
I thought, now these are going to be some interesting days. Haman's got a decree to have all the Jews killed because he's got an issue with Mordecai. The only thing he doesn't know is that Esther's not just a Jew. Mordecai is her uncle. And Xerxes, typical husband that he is completely in the dark. Well, I couldn't wait. But you know, I didn't have to wait long at all. About 3 days later, Xerxes was holding court and I was at my position. And the side door opened. Now, Xerxes hated it when anyone interrupted him. And I could see him there at holding court. And he hears that door open and he looks over there and, you know, initially he's mad. But then he looks at Esther. And I must admit, she looked good. She looked real good. And she was standing there. And Xerxes, he got that scepter and he tipped it down real fast towards her, inviting her to come up. And as she moved up there, I could just see the old guy's heart melting. You know, sometimes it happened like that. The guy had a sweet side to him every once in a while. And he says, "Esther, what is it you would like? What may I do for you today?" The only thing she asked was that he come to lunch. And she asked if he would have Haman come as well. And at first I was like, why didn't she say anything? But then I realized Haman wasn't in the room and she probably wanted to wait till he was there to confront him. Well, the morning drug on, but finally it was lunchtime. And we whisked off to Esther's quarters and she had this beautiful spread all laid out. Xerxes, Esther, Haman, and the rest of us at our post. It's a wonderful lunch. Small talk, talk about policies and politics. And then it happened over dessert. Xerxes leaned forward and he said, "Esther, there is something you wanted to ask me." "What was it?" I thought, here it comes. But the only thing she asked was that he and Haman come to lunch the next day. I thought, what's she waiting for? Why is she holding back? But you know, in hindsight, it was all wrong. The timing wouldn't have been good. You see, because there was two things that happened that were just oh so significant. That afternoon, Haman floated home. I mean, he sent word ahead to his wife to gather the family and their closest friends, and they were having a huge party that night. And Haman, I got all this from the tutor. Haman, he was just in his glory. And he just recounted his rise to power and how today was like the capstone. Because he had had private lunch with the king and the queen. The only moth in his Persian rug was that Mordecai. And one of his guests said, "Haman, you don't need to wait till February 24th to have that guy taken out. Xerxes likes you. He believes in you. Just go tomorrow and ask him for permission to have him taken out right now. In fact, that tree you've got out back, that would make a great place to hang the guy. Let's have a party tomorrow afternoon and watch him die." Haman loved the idea. That was the first thing. The second thing that happened, and this is weird. This is really weird. Xerxes couldn't sleep that night. I mean, the guy usually slept like a baby, but that night, insomnia city. And about 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm sleeping and lying there, and I hear, "Harbona! Harbona!" I stumble in there. "Yes, sir." "I can't sleep." "Would you like a sandwich, sir?" "No, I don't want a sandwich. Just read something to me." "Anything in particular? A novel?" "No. Just get some of my memoirs. I love hearing about all the things that I've done." So I stumble back over to the library and I find one of the scrolls and bring it back and I take my seat and I start to read. And I'm stumbling through all these things that he had done. And about 15 minutes into it, I came across this passage that was so interesting. It was all about how the Jewish representative, on his way to council meeting, had overheard the plot to have King Xerxes assassinated. He informed the queen through back channels, and the queen's staff foiled the assassination plot. Well, as I was reading that, Xerxes perked up and he goes, I remember that. What was that guy's name? Mordecai? No, sir. Mordecai. Yeah, whatever. Hey, Harbona, what did we do for that guy? Well, I continued to read and read. Then I scanned the next several paragraphs and I said, sir, there's nothing recorded here. Harbona, are you telling me the man saves my life and we did nothing? Nothing's recorded, sir. First thing in the morning, I want this taken care of. You remind me, Harbona. Yes, sir. Would you like me to continue reading? No, I think I can sleep now. Now, I was the one who couldn't sleep. Haman wants him hung, and Xerxes wants him honored. I was in the antechamber, and I hear Xerxes yell out, "Are any of my officials out there?" One of the other men said, "Haman's out there, sir. He would like to see you about an urgent matter." Well, I rushed out. I wanted to get into position because I wasn't going to miss this. In comes Haman. And you could just tell he couldn't wait to get the words out. But before he had a chance to say anything, Xerxes goes, "Haman, Haman, there is someone in my kingdom, and I am in great debt to him. And I would like to honor him. Now, can you help me out on this? How would you honor someone like that?" Well, I was watching Haman, and I saw the wheels start turning. I'd bet $1,000 he thought he was talking about him. Haman thought real deeply, and he said, "Sir, if this is someone you really want to honor, I would suggest that we get one of your royal robes and we place it on him. And then one of the horses that you've ridden into battle, let's bring him and have the man sit on that horse with the royal robe on it. And then let's get a very high official to lead that horse with the man on it, with the royal robe on it, on him, and have him lead him through the city and with a loud voice say, 'This is someone that the king wants to honor. This man is someone that Xerxes admires.'" Xerxes was there. I could just see he loved it. He goes, "That is so good. Now, Haman, I want you to make it happen. The guy's name is Mordecai." "Mordecai, sir." "Whatever. I want you to make it happen. He should be on his way to the council meeting. He's the Jewish representative. Now, Haman, have at it right now. And Haman, yell loud." Oh, and then as he was almost out the room, Xerxes said, "Haman, there was something you wanted to see me about." "It can wait, sir." Xerxes looked at me and he said, "Haman didn't look well." "I don't think he's feeling well this morning, sir." It was an interesting morning. We got all kinds of reports about Haman's little parade. He got back to the palace just in time to be whisked away to the queen's quarters for his second lunch with the king and the queen. There they were, the three of them eating, and it was a beautiful spread again. I in my position. I didn't have to wait long at all because this time it was over the salad. Xerxes leaned forward and he said, "Esther, there is something that's bothering you, and I want you to tell me. Ask me, what can I do for you? Is there anything I can give you?" I thought to myself, here it comes. Esther said, "Yes, sir, there is something you can give me. You can give me my life and the life of my people." Xerxes was dumbfounded. "What do you mean?" there is someone in your kingdom who wants to destroy, kill, and annihilate all of my people. When she said those three words, it was like someone was slapping Haman in the face. Destroy, kill, and annihilate it. You should have seen his eyes. Xerxes was still confused. He said, what are you talking about? Who would do such a thing? And Esther looked and she pointed her finger and she said, Haman. And then she lifted up the decree. Xerxes put it all together. He looked at that. He looked at Haman. He looked at Esther. And I'll tell you what, I've only seen this happen twice before. The guy was so enraged, he had to walk out of the room. He just didn't know what to do. And he just stepped outside for a few moments to think. Well, as soon as he was out of there, you should have seen Haman. The guy fell apart. Oh, Esther, I am so sorry. Esther, I didn't know. You are a Jew. Esther, please, what am I going to do? And Esther, she wasn't going to sit and listen to him a bit. She stood up and she started to walk away. And Haman, he stood up and he started to chase her. And just as they got over across the room, he steps on her robe and the two of them tumbled down into the sofa. And just then, Xerxes comes back in and he gets the wrong idea, if you know what I mean. And he says, Haman, would you attack my wife in my own house? Cover his head. You see, in Persia, when they cover your head, you will never again see the light of day. I thought it was safe to speak up. I said, Xerxes, Haman was wanting to talk to you this morning about having Mordecai hung. In fact, they have prepared gallows behind his house. That might be a fine place to take care of Haman. The only thing Xerxes said was, hang him. And that's what they did. Later, Mordecai was promoted up, and now he was second in the kingdom. They couldn't undo the decree, but they did another decree. This time authorizing the Jews to fight back. In fact, they could attack first anyone that they thought might be planning to attack them. And there would be no questions asked. And you know, that day, February 24th, came and went, and the Jews were totally safe. I mean, you should have seen those Jews dancing in the street. You know, when I think back over all these amazing coincidences, I mean, Vashti being banished, Esther being chosen, Xerxes not being able to sleep. And on that night, of all things I would read to him, I read to him about how Mordecai saved his life. And we forgot to honor him. Amazing coincidences. You know, those Jews, they give credit to their God. But I don't know. I'm not so sure that they're just not lucky. They say they've got a God that doesn't sleep or slumber. But I don't know. What do you think? You see, we've got a God that has said to you, and he said to me, just like he said to the Jews, do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and uphold thee by my righteous right hand. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you so much for the way you work for the benefit of your people. And Father, on a day like today when many people literally around the world are remembering some incredible, what the world would call coincidences, Father, I thank you that we know there are no coincidences. That is you at work. And Father, I thank you so much that you don't just work for the Jewish folks. You didn't just work 2,500 years ago. You work today. You work this week. And Father, we as a church family, we can just see so many things that you did, you have done, and the world would look at them and say, oh, wow, they're lucky. But we know, Father, it's not luck, it's you. And today, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. We want to relish the greatness that is yours. And Father, we are so glad that you have invited us into your kingdom. And Father, it's our prayer today that if there's some here that do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we pray, Father, that today as we've been worshiping, Father, we pray that they might have come to know Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege of focusing on your incredible work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.